Today, as we are reflecting on prayer and meditation, I'd like to share this little joke with you. An old Jewish man was taking his young grandson for a walk by the ocean when a great wave crashes over them, washing the little boy out into the sea. The grandfather looks up to the heavens and says, "How could you take my only grandson? His father will never understand, and his mother will die of grief." The next wave comes in, depositing the little boy on the beach. And the old grandfather looks up to heaven and complains, "He had a hat." Sometimes we are never satisfied in our prayers. For the last 3 weeks, we've been reflecting on the 12 steps of spirituality as laid out by AA and other 12-step programs, because these 12 steps are highly helpful in guiding us on a conscious spiritual journey. And because when understood together as a church community, they help us to grow closer together into a more authentic human community. And so today we're exploring the final two steps, 11 and 12. Both of them invite us into a deeper, more intimate connection. Step 11 is a commitment to regular, intimate connection with God as the source of our life. And step 12 is a connection with others, in service to others. Many years ago, I was interviewed by a writer who was going across North America interviewing different churches, and he was trying to understand the difference between dying churches and thriving ones. And he had a particular hypothesis that he was setting out to prove in his book, which he later titled Future Faith Churches. And he said, "I believe that there are two essential elements at work in any faith community for it to be meaningful for people: spirituality and service. And a church community needs to be doing both." And I would go further in saying that both these elements also need to be at work in every human being for us to feel fully alive and thriving and whole. Spirituality and service. Step 11 is all about nurturing our inner spirituality, and step 12 is all about serving others. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. As we all know, life can be incredibly challenging. None of us make it through life without experiencing various struggles and challenges and losses. We live with all sorts of anxieties and struggles that can be incredibly overwhelming. And step 11 reminds us, in order for us to meet and face life's challenges, and to find purpose and joy and meaning in all the struggles, it is important that we learn to maintain a conscious connection with our sacred source through prayer and meditation, praying only for guidance and for strength. You will notice that according to step 11, prayer isn't about making our wish list and making our needs and wants known to God, or about trying to change God. Prayer, step 11, is about praying for gaining perspective and wisdom and strength. Step 11 reminds us that as spiritual beings on a mission, we need to remember to keep returning to the mothership to recharge our battery and refocus and realign our purpose in being here. Richard Rohr, in his book, Breathing Underwater, reminds us that life is really all about dealing with the big five. Calls it the big five: God, death, suffering, love, and infinity. And we can't deal with the big five as well unless we're in contact with a power greater than ourselves, however we have come to understand the nature of that power of love. He suggests that the best way to keep connecting is from moving from a calculating mind that is searching frantically to try to figure it all out for answers, moving from a calculating mind to a contemplative mind, which is seeing with the temple, receiving from the power source and widening our perspective, or as he says, emptying the mind and filling the heart. I liked that. Emptying the mind and filling the heart. As he points out, prayer is not about changing God, but being willing for God to change us. So prayer and meditation is about taking the time we need to rest and abide in God in order to be renewed and remade. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, which is in modern-day Turkey, he reminds us to be continually praying for God to give us wise minds and spirits attuned to God's will and the strength to carry it out. A strength that he describes as spilling over into joy, making all things bright and beautiful. Paul reminds the people that Jesus was only able to do the hard things that Jesus had to do in his lifetime because of Jesus' intimate connection with his sacred source. He kept returning to the electric station and recharging his battery by spending time in silence, alone, and in nature, and then returning to serve others. While it was still night, way before dawn, Jesus got up and went to a secluded place and prayed. In our Bible study group this week, we talked about where we go to experience and connect with God. And like Jesus, most of us said we experience the presence of God most palpably when we are alone and quiet and when we're in nature, whether in the forest and feeling the energy of the trees, or by the ocean and feeling the power of the wind. And what the presence of God feels like is fullness. Fullness of a loving and peaceful presence. Richard Rohr calls it a place of gentle not knowing. The calculating mind always wants to figure it all out, to try to sort out all the answers. But when we're still long enough and fill our heart with love, we come to a knowing not knowing. We come to an intuitive knowing even when we don't know. Have you ever had that experience? You're at a crossroads in your life and you're not sure which direction to go, but we ask for help to know, and we feel a little frantic, searching our mind for some answers and some clarity. But then the true peace comes when we sit in the quiet and the aloneness long enough. The true peace comes not in the knowing, but being at peace with a gentle not knowing. As Rohr says, we need to take time in quiet self-surrender, allowing the spirit of holy love to invade us, touch us, and heal us. Have you ever had that sweet experience of taking time away for yourself and handing everything over and letting it all go and letting that gentle, sweet presence fill you up full to overflowing? It is so important for our well-being as humans that we learn to take time to sit in quiet and come to know ourselves in a more intimate way, to let go of our burdens and fears, to notice with curiosity the thoughts and distractions that are moving in and out of our mind, to fill up our hearts with love for everything and everyone, and to gain an expanded perspective on our own life. To have a contemplative mind is to see literally with the temple, to seek to see life through God's perspective, through the seagull's view, through the view of the dove of the Holy Spirit. Step 11 reminds us to both pray and to meditate. And I like to distinguish them in this way. Prayer is speaking all of our fears and concerns, our questions, our hopes and desires, so that we can know our own hearts and minds. And meditation is listening for answers that come as deep knowing and being filled up with inner peace and love and strength. So taking time to speak and to receive, to pray and to meditate, is taking time to know the depths of our own souls and being amazed that the source of life resides there also. Prayer and meditation is such a powerful inner resource and enables us to do life with a greater sense of peace and strength and joy and purpose. And that's why the Muslims call their people to prayer 5 times a day. When I was in Calgary, we had an interfaith women's retreat, and we invited a Muslim woman to come, a Hindu woman to come, an indigenous woman to come, and of course, most of us were Christians. And so we wanted to experience the spiritual practices from other traditions, and so the Muslim woman invited us all to rise up at 4 a.m., to come and pray with her. And she explained that it is at that time that they believe that the portals between heaven and earth are most open, and one can feel the presence of the sacred most palpably at that hour, because all the channels are open. Jesus believed that too. While it was still night, way before dawn, Jesus got up and went out to a secluded place and prayed. Have you ever been wakened in the middle of the night and if we stop and get rid of all the worries that we're worried about and just open the channel, it is then that the flow between heaven and earth is most miraculously flowing. Taking time to pray and meditate is taking the time to know the depths of our own souls and being amazed that the source of all life resides there also. But according to the 12 steps, we don't stop at step 11. We need to take the 12th and final step. For after Jesus prayed, he returned to the world to help to heal it. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. In Matthew, we are reminded that no sooner had Jesus prayed than Jesus called all of his followers together to go out into the world to care for it. He sent his students to the lost and confused people, to bring healing to the sick, to touch the untouchable, to raise those who felt dead inside, to free those who felt imprisoned, to feed the hungry, to care for the sick, to give sight to those who feel blind, to live freely and generously, to help those right in their own neighborhood, and to remind them that God is here. There is no greater joy I know of that comes to us than in serving others. That's the biggest high there is. To help someone else fills us up with a sense of purpose. To contribute to the well-being of another leaves us feeling satisfied and complete and whole. Remember all the times in your life when you lived not for yourself, but took the time to really help another person. The time we simply helped a small child get their boots on. The times we gave money to a homeless person on the street. The times we were a friend to someone who needed a listening ear and a shoulder to cry on. The times a partner needed some support and encouragement. The times our family needs nourishment. The times we volunteered and served in the church or in the wider community. The times we cleaned up plastics to care for the ocean. The times we wrote letters to Amnesty to free prisoners. The times we went to hospital to cheer an aching heart. Walking with the youth for climate change, like the Green Team walked on Friday, or the ringing of the bell at the Anglican Church. There are millions of ways to serve, and it is only in service to others and not ourselves that we finally feel complete as human beings. It is only when we are acting generously and justly and graciously and lovingly and kindly toward others that we find God and ourselves. This is the will of God for us. It's not a big mystery. It is obvious. That is the will of God for our lives, to live generously and wisely and lovingly and graciously and justly. This is what it means to be awake, to be in conscious connection with God. There is the story of three men who encountered the Buddha. The one asked, "Are you a god?" And the Buddha answered, "No." The other asked, "Are you an avatar then, a divine incarnation of God?" And the Buddha answered, "No." A third asked, "Well then, are you a shaman?" "No," answered the Buddha. Then they asked, "Well then, are you just a man?" And the Buddha answered, "No, I am awake." The Buddha was awake to the divine reality that we are always swimming in God, and God is always swimming in us, that life is all about being awake to ourselves and in service to others in whatever moment presents itself. Jesus was awake and aware of his connection to God, to himself, and to others, and invited all of his students to wake up also. You and I are on a sacred journey. We just need to wake up. So I'd like us to take a few moments to just be in the quiet present and to allow the spirit of all life to fill us up, full to overflowing. So I'd like you to imagine yourself out in nature and pulling up to an ocean or to a forest which is our fueling station, and plugging our electric soul car into the recharging station and allowing the Spirit of God to fill us up full to overflowing. Let's take a few minutes to do so now.